Well, good morning, Renew Revival Church. Heartfelt welcome both to person and also to our many members and visitors online. Once again, good morning. As we get started here, just a couple of announcements, things to make you aware of. If you have a bulletin with you, there are a number of announcements, especially at this time in the season, what with Christmas and Advent and all those fun things. One event in particular that I'd like to point your attention to is the Ladies' Christmas Brunch, which is December 9th. So that is Friday, I believe, Thursday, Saturday, way off. It's Saturday at 10 a.m. to 11:30. So all the ladies, you are invited to be a part of that this Saturday. Another thing I want to make you aware of, also on the other side of the bulletin, is the many options for giving that we have available to you. Remember that as a way for us to worship the Lord in doing so. So there are many options for you available there. With all that being said, let us go towards this moment of what's open in prayer. Pray with me. Lord, I just thank you for this day and just the opportunity we have each and every week to begin our weeks with spending time with you. Lord, I don't know where we all are at coming into this time. Some of us may be right now on a mountaintop. Some of us may be in a valley. But regardless of wherever we are located in life, I pray that you would attune our hearts in this time to worship. May all of this service, from the beginning to its end, be an opportunity for us to do so, to worship you. And I pray you would also, for everyone that is involved in this service, may you attune their hearts and keep them focused upwards on you rather than just bogged down by the various noises of everything that is outside to the left and to the right of us. Keep us upward, focused on your Son, and it's in his name that I pray. Amen.
Thanks, Cameron. Good morning, Redeemer. Why don't we stand to our feet and worship together?
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching over silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy. On the mountain, over the everywhere, go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that down in a lonely manger, the humble Christ was born, and God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go to the mountain, over the hills and everywhere, go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Isaiah 40, it says that if you put your hope in the Lord, that your strength will be renewed. So I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell them, if your hope is in Christ, your strength will be renewed.
Advent is of reflective preparation for the celebration of the first coming of Christ at Christmas and the expectant return of Christ at his second coming. It is a tradition that began in early century Europe that has been widely practiced by believers around the world. The first candle symbolizes hope. Believers can have hope because God is faithful and will keep his promises to them. They have an inheritance reserved in heaven, and this hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls.
Amen. Reading from Isaiah 9, verse 2, 6, and 7. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestors for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen.
Thank you so much. All right, let's continue worship together. Supply everything we need. Everything good comes from you. And Lord, we can hope and trust in you in all circumstances, in all situations. I pray that during this time we're entering into where it's the holiday season and everybody's gathering with family and a lot of things going on, a lot of distractions. I pray, firstly, that we would not lose focus of you and the reason why we're celebrating at all. And also that we would open our hearts, and we would just be a little more loving this season to one another. We've been through some hard times the past 2 years. And Lord, I pray that, in the past 3 years really, but I pray that this season we would come back together, we would focus around you, not the present else, the traveling, but we would focus on the fact that you were born, you became a man, and you died on that cross to forgive us for sins that we could not atone for. God, I pray that you'd be with us this morning and that we would truly listen to you this morning. In your name, Christ, I pray. Amen.
The winter solstice holiday festivals have been around for centuries. Many of the cultures in the Northern Hemisphere have celebrated a winter solstice festival. Many of them have, and they're all different kind of ones. And the basic idea behind most of them is that they've come into this season, the end of December, where it's the shortest day of the year, and sense of hope in the coming days, because the sun will be out for a little longer, the days will eventually get warmer, and spring is coming. And so what a lot of these cultures have done in a very cultic way, worshiping their own gods and worshiping their own deities, but they've used those as times to instill a hope in people about this. And when our ancestors came over to the great country of America, they brought a lot of those traditions with them. And what Christians here began to do is saying, listen, we need to come up with a new winter solstice type of a festival. Because a lot of the people were bringing over traditions of worshiping other gods, and it just wasn't good. And so they came up, the church was the main instigator, they came up with the concept of Christmas. Now, what the church wanted everyone to do is they wanted people to understand, to celebrate Christmas. But the idea was, is that by celebrating Christmas, they would be moving through to Christ. The idea from the very beginning was that the church of Christmas were not in and of themselves to be something to happen, but they were supposed to point people through Christmas to Christ. For example, this morning we're talking about hope, and hope is very much a Christmas theme. But the idea behind it was that people were supposed to get hope and to be hopeful about the Christmas time for the purpose of being moving through Christmas and seeing that their hope is really only going to be found in Christ. And so that's kind of the basis, if you want, the history of how Christmas got started. But what is tending to happen today, what modern humanity does is they get all excited and hopeful, if you will, about Christmas, and it stops there. People get all excited about the gift gift. I mean, seriously, who doesn't love a five-year-old ripping a package open? I mean, it's just, it's wonderful, right? It's so hopeful. It's such a time filled with hope. And so what a lot of our culture is doing is that they're celebrating Christmas, but they're not going through Christmas and landing in Christ. They're stopping at Christmas. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want us to talk about how do we go through Christmas to Christ? How do we ourselves not get all caught up in the trappings, how do we get involved in all of the wrappings, in all of the stars, in all of the Christmas programs? How do we go through those, but instead of stopping there, how do we go through to Christ in our own lives, but in the lives of the people, and our cousins, and our nephews, and our aunts, and our uncles, and our grandparents? How do we make this Christmas time not just be about December 25th, but how do we work it in such a way that it does what it was intended to do? It was intended to point to Christ. And this morning, what I'm going to do is I want to lead you through a couple of verses in the book of Philippians. So if you have your Bible, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Philippians. And what we're going to look at is a passage where Paul and Timothy are writing to a church. It's a church in Philippi. And he's talking to them about what their hope should be. And interestingly, what Paul does is he talks about some things that people often put their hope in. And he mentions them, but he brings them into the conversation in such a way that he says, this is what you're hoping in, but this is how it points to Christ. That's what I want to do with you this morning. We're going to talk about some things that Paul is demonstrating that people sometimes have their hope in. And he's saying, hey, but that hope is really should be properly associated with Christ. And then I'm going to make a transition from what Paul is saying into our tradition of Christmas. And what Paul talks about here, Paul and Timothy, what they're writing about is, first of all, they talk about citizenship. This is an interesting concept, and I'll talk about it when we get there. But he uses the concept of citizenship, and then he points that to Christ. And then he talks about being caught up, talks about the rapture, talk about the time when Jesus comes back, and then he points that to Christ. And then he talks about how believers will live forever in heaven with the Lord, with Jesus, and then he points that to Christ. So we'll talk about that as we get there. But the whole idea is that these things that he's writing about, they're things that people are concerned about, or they're interested in, or they're thinking about. These all point to Christ. And as we look at this, we'll get an idea of how we can also, for ourselves or for our loved ones, how we can allow the traditions that happen in Christmas, how we can see that those also point to Christ. So we're going to be in Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. And the first talk about is citizenship. Now, these fellows are Roman citizens. Paul, for sure, is a Roman citizen. And so the idea in this time period of being a Roman citizen was a big deal. It was kind of like, in many ways, it was kind of like a traveler who's from the States. There's a certain amount of credibility that comes with a traveler who is associated with the United States. It's just, if you're from America, that means many countries are just going to be nice to you just because you're from the States. And so in this time period, that was also similar. And so then what Paul does is he talks about citizenship, but he doesn't talk about his Roman citizenship, although that's the thing that was on people's mind. But now he talks about a different citizenship. Look at me at verse 20. He says, but we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. He says, Paul and Timothy. And from the verses before, Paul is using this dialogue, this whole conversation, to say, don't follow the example of these guys, follow our example. And so now he goes in, he says, but we, me, Paul, and Timothy, but we are citizens. Now, when we understand the idea of a citizen, if a citizen is from another country, that means that their allegiance, of their customs, some of their ways of thinking, some of their ways of talking, some of their dialect, some of their language is different than where they're at. And so Paul is calling all those things up here, and he's saying, but we, me and Timothy, we are citizens of heaven. Another place. We are citizens of a country, not Philippi, where we're living. We are citizens of heaven. And he's taking the concept of citizenship that is very prominent in people's mind at this time, and in our culture today, citizenship is a big deal. So it'd be like Paul saying, hey, we are citizens, but our citizenship is not in heaven. I'm sorry, citizenship is not here in the States. Our citizenship is in heaven. That place, here comes the point, where Jesus Christ lives. And it's so critical that you understand what's going on here. Is Paul is talking about something that they're interested in, that they're thinking about, and he talks to that citizenship, and he points them to Christ. And the idea here is he's really honing in on this concept that Paul and Timothy are citizens of heaven, that place where Jesus Christ lives. And they're saying in a roundabout way, hey, listen, we're the same type of citizens as Jesus. We are similar. There are similarities between us and Jesus because we, the three of us, are citizens of heaven. And what Paul is doing in this situation is he's pointing people to what their hope really needs to be in. Not their hope in their citizenship of Philippi, not their hope in citizenship of being a Roman citizen, but their hope in being in Christ. And so what Paul does here is he uses the concept of citizenship and he points them to Christ. And there are a lot of traditions about Christmas. There are a lot of things that are involved in Christmas, a lot of things that we do, a lot of things that we, of like, traditions that we do, or there are a lot of actions that we do in the middle of Christmas that actually point to Christ. One of the coolest ones, and it wasn't necessarily intended this way, but it's really obvious. Have you thought about the shape of a Christmas tree? Like, if you look at the silhouette of a Christmas tree, there's a big, huge Christmas tree in the foyer, and if I look out there, if you looked at the shape of the Christmas tree, what is it? It's like an arrow. What direction is the arrow pointing? It's pointing up. And it's interesting, so many different things involved with Christmas that can be used to point to Christ. Just as Paul and Timothy are saying, we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. If you look at a Christmas tree, you're like, the Christmas tree is kind of pointing up. And that's where our hope is found. Our hope is not found in what we see right now, but our hope is found in Christ. And so this morning, what I want to do, and what I want to challenge you with, and I know this is a stretch, but I want to challenge you, we have to begin to take on the responsibility of moving from just celebrating Christmas into Christ. And if we don't understand that it has to be done, if we don't understand the dynamics of how to do that, and that it needs to be done, we won't do it. If we don't understand the importance of that we see and using them to point to Christ, our neighbors, our friends, our family member are going to go to the next Christmas party, they're going to drink way too much eggnog, they're going to eat way too much ham, and they're going to go home and they're going to go to sleep. And they're never going to think about the reason why that holiday was put in place in the first place. The first part of verse 20, Paul says, hope is through citizenship to Christ. And then the last part of verse 20, he goes on and he says, hope is in being caught up with Christ. The last part of verse 20 says this, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. Paul and Timothy are saying, we are eagerly waiting. We are staying put in anticipation of a future event. We are eagerly waiting for Christ to return. You may have remembered as when Jesus was taken from the earth after he was resurrected, he went up into the clouds, and the angels came down and talked to the disciples and said, hey, Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back the same way that you saw him go. He's coming back in the clouds. And so Paul and Timothy are saying here is, we are eager for that time when Jesus will come back. And he will come back as our Savior. He will come back as the one who will save us from the existence that they're in now. Not to save them from their sins. They've already been saved from their sins. But he's going to save them from their life here on earth. And again, when you look at what Paul has done here, is they're thinking about is, what are you guys doing? He says, we are eagerly waiting for Jesus to return when he comes back as our Savior. And Paul and Timothy take something that the people are thinking about and says, it's through this, and pointing it to Christ. On Christmas Eve, some of us will be under the impression Santa Claus is coming. Some feel that way, some not. But most people have an understanding of who this is. And at the end of when Santa comes into people's homes and he presents those gifts and puts those gifts under the tree, something's going to happen when he's done. He's going to be caught up in the chimney. Now, we all know that he's pretty talented because not everybody has a chimney, right? Not everybody has a big enough chimney for Santa, but we know that Santa is going to be able to be taken up somehow. He's going to be caught up through that. Just like believers will be caught up to meet Jesus in the air. You see, there are so many things, so many traditions, so many things about Christmas that point to Christ. You can not make stuff up, but you can find these all over the place. The story of Christmas and the traditions of Christmas, you can find how these point people to Christ. And the thing is that you can come up with your own. You can do this. You can look around a room that's decorated for Christmas, and you can look around and see things that point to Christ. So I want to challenge you over this next week, over this next season, when you have some quiet time, when you're just sitting around thinking about the traditions of Christmas, and see, are there any of those that point to Christ? Just come up with some of your own. I've come with some like really wild and crazy ones, but that's okay. Come up with some of your own. Think about ways in which the stuff that we do around Christmas, think about how it points to Christ. And you can come up with your own Christmas hopes. As we keep going through the passage, we see here are taking, the first thing that they did is they took citizenship. And they said, hey, citizenship, this is a big deal, but our citizenship is in heaven with Jesus, pointing to Jesus. And then he said, we are waiting around. We are going to be caught up at some point with Jesus, again pointing to Christ. And then in verse 21, they make their final, the final one in this section, and it talks about companionship. And in companionship with Christ. Verse 21 says this, "He will take our weak and mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control." He, speaking of Jesus, he will take our weak and mortal bodies. And the referent here is that humans have a body that is affected as it gets older. It gets weaker and weaker and weaker. And the reality is that the body that you and I inhabit right now will not last forever. It will die. Many people don't make it to 70, some maybe 80, some 90. But eventually, the body we live in will be done. Because our bodies are weak and they're mortal. And Paul and Timothy say, he, Jesus, will take our weak and mortal bodies, change them into glorious bodies like his own. Jesus will take these bodies that are temporary, and he will make them into something different. He will make them into eternal bodies. Just like what Christ has. And then he goes on to say this, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his. The weak and mortal bodies that we have now are temporary. But we are going to get a glorious body that's going to be eternal. And it's going to be like his. So that we can have companionship with him. So that we can be with him forever. Just as you and I can talk and you and I can shake hands and you and I can hug. There will come a day when a believer gets a new body. With that body, they will be able to talk with Jesus. They'll be able to shake his hand. They'll be able to hug him. There's a companionship that's coming. And what Paul and Timothy are doing is they're talking about something, this the weak and mortal bodies, and you're using that and they're pointing it to Christ. Because that is truly where hope is found. Hope is not found in a body that's better looking than other people or lasting longer than other people. Hope is found in an intimate relationship with Christ. And we can't have that for eternity until we get a new body. So Paul and Timothy are using the conversation and pointing it to Christ. And the same thing is true on the back of the doors here and all around the church that we have these Christmas wreaths. And I didn't know the story, but I did some research on it this past week. And I guess the wreaths have been a part of traditions for many, 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 many years, hundreds of years. But what we have done in the States, in the early America, what the church wanted to do is they wanted to repurpose the wreath as something that had a theological meaning. And so it was promoted that as the wreath is a circle, that believers will have an eternal relationship that never ends. They'll have this body, this eternal body. Believers will get an eternal body, and that body will last forever, just like the wreath goes round and round. And this morning, the challenge that I want to challenge you with is that I want to challenge you to take some of those hopes, those Christmas hopes that you're going to be thinking about over this next week. I want to challenge you to have conversations with people about those. As you're wrestling with your nephews on the living room floor at somebody's house over the week, say, you know, hey nephew, you know what this, whatever it is, the item that you've whether it's the Christmas tree or the wreath or whatever you come up with, this reminds me of the spiritual truth that relates to Christ. You're sitting at a table with Uncle Bob, and you guys are drinking coffee and reminiscing about the old times. Use that conversation to say, hey, Uncle Bob, you know, this, whatever it is, tradition of Christmas, this thing of Christmas, this reminds me about something about Christ. And I want to challenge you to use the Christmas gatherings that you're going to be a part of over the next coming weeks to use those as opportunities to take people from elements of the Christmas tradition and point them to Christ. That's the chat that I have for you. And this morning, what I wanted to do is I wanted to try to answer this question of how do we, as people, how do we move through Christmas to Christ? We are surrounded by people all around us who are in the position where they're stopping with the hope of Christmas. They are hopeful about what they're going to get for Christmas. They're hopeful about singing Christmas carols. They're hopeful about all the different elements of it, but that's where it's going to stop. And what I want to challenge you to do this season is to move through the Christmas and point to Christ. This year, again, we're going to give everyone a Christmas gift. And it's definitely been one of my things that I'm most proud of here at the church is that last year I gave you all, if you were here, a Christmas gift that nobody knew about. There's a couple of people on staff, so nobody knew it was coming. And you got this little Christmas ornament, and everybody was shocked. It was like, oh, wow. Well, this year's going to be different. I'm telling you in advance what I'm giving you. Totally different. You're going to get a Christmas mug. It's going to look just like this. I'd give them to you this morning, but they're not wrapped yet. We're getting work done. So the next coming weeks, I'm giving you a Christmas mug. But I want you to know, when you get this Christmas mug, on the other side of the Christmas mug, there's a saying. And it says, ask about Jesus. And I want you to see what I'm doing with this. I'm giving you something that's a part of the Christmas tradition. And I'm using it to point you to Christ. That is our responsibility this Christmas season. There are so many elements and just fun things that we do at Christmas that really easily point to Christ. All we have to do is just, hey, you know, so-and-so, I was thinking the other day about such-and-such. And it reminds me a lot of Christ. So that's the challenge for you this week. You have to get to the place where you're convinced that you need to do this. If you're not convinced, walk out of these doors and you're like, yeah, it's not a big deal. Somebody else will do it. You'll never do it. So I get it. I understand. So I'm challenging you to start by saying, yes, this Christmas I need to look for an opportunity to tell people about Christ through Christmas. And then over this next week or so, I want to challenge you to look for things. I've given you some suggestions. You can use mine, but you'll have a whole bunch more fun if you find your own. Think of things that we Christmas season that point to some aspect of having a relationship with Jesus. Come up with your own. If you get your own, you'll be more excited about it. It'll be easier for you to share. And then as you move into your Christmas parties, as you move into your family gatherings, as you move into those times where you're around people who may not know what it means to have an intimate relationship with Christ, Christmas hopes that you've uncovered, and tell people something that you've learned, something that you've noticed about Christmas trees, about Christmas wreaths, about Santa going up the chimney, or about your pastor giving you a coffee cup that says, ask me about Jesus. Christmas is a wonderful season. The winter solstice was put into, it's theorized, they don't know for sure because they weren't there, but it's theorized that that the cultures set up the winter solstice traditions and festivals because Christmas is a very, very difficult time of the year. It's dark a lot of the day. It's cold in many places. And for people who are involved in agriculture, it's a quiet time. There's just nothing going on because they can't grow anything. And oftentimes, the winter solstice time period is very depressing. And we're not that much different here in the United States for different reasons. But winter, Christmas can be very exciting, but very depressing. We would probably be shocked if we heard how many people spend Christmas Eve and Christmas Day all by themselves. We'd be probably shocked to know how many people are depressed through the holidays because it's a difficult time. I'm just challenging you this week. Look for Christmas hopes of your own ingenuity and share them with the people around you when you have opportunity to over this next season. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this morning. Thank you for the challenge to share the elements of what we have learned with our friends and our family. Lord, I pray that you would help us, even in our own lives, to see through the Christmas season to Christ. Help us to see the ways in which you have been involved in the development of the American tradition of Christmas, to leave trails along the way of who you are and how much you love people. Dear Heavenly Father, I do just pray that you would give us the courage over the coming weeks to be bold about the Christmas hopes that we've uncovered and to share those with our friends and family along the way. We love you. We pray all this in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. Now all glory to God who is able, according to his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than all we might ask or think. All glory to him in the church and Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. See you next week.